Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege we have, the opportunity to come together and to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, for there's no other way that's acceptable, Lord, but to come in you, Lord, to come in the revelation of the hour. Lord, to know you in the power of your resurrection. Lord, we ask you would bless each one this morning that would listen in. Those that are here, those that are afar, Lord, you know every heart and every need. And Lord, may you help us each one. I'm asking for myself this morning, Lord, that you would give me words to speak. Something that would feed your children, Lord, that would feed the sheep. Something that would be edifying to them, Lord. And may you lead us and guide us in all truth now. For we ask the leadership of the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So we're happy to be here this morning. We greet you, each one. And we want to say, Sister Evelyn called us this morning, and she's having some physical issues, and so we want you to be in prayer for her. The Lord will touch her and deliver her from those things. And then I think I heard Brother Michael. I really can't hear much. but one day we're going to have a speaker. When we get over there, we're going to have a speaker in there so I can hear. Maybe by that time I'll have a speaker in my ear. So I've been told over and over and over that I need one. And I'm slowly accepting it, Curtis, that it's true. And so I hear the noise. I just don't understand. And I can remember when Brother Holmes was talking about it years ago, and everybody knew he wasn't hearing well. And so he told me when we were in India, I said, Brother, I hear just fine. And I said, Brother, you don't. And so when he went to the doctor, I can't remember the percentage, but it was so low. Does anybody remember what it was? The doctor told him what he's hearing, but the percentage of what he was understanding, it was like 20% or something. You know, they did that testing. I've never had that testing. But I got one time when I was in India, and she says, oh, you're fine. So they're on a different standard, I think. So, but anyway, it's okay. I know it's coming. I know I have a hard time. I know when somebody talks low, I just don't understand what they're saying. I hear them, I see their lips moving, but I don't get it. So, but we want to remember in prayer, Brother Michael, Sister Amanda. Also, I think I did hear him mention that. And then I spoke with Brother Israel this morning in India, and they're doing good, and we want to remember them. And I think he said he would be listening in by way of the hookup. So we want to be in prayer for them. And we want to greet the others that will be listening in to Shiko and the girls there in Canada. Any who might be listening from Kenya, we want to remember them. And then I want to welcome Curtis this morning, my friend. And we met. I got to tell you, just take a minute if you'll give me a minute to tell you how we met. Because I've been talking, I've been walking the trail occasionally up here in town, and I've been looking for some help, and I need a helper really bad. And so I've been talking to a guy up there, a homeless guy, but a real nice guy, and he told me he would work some. So I got his phone number, and so and as usually I'd seen him several days, several evenings. I went up there to walk, and so I was up there on Thursday, and he wasn't there. And so then I called him Thursday night, and I said, you know, to tell him I needed some help, and he didn't pick up. And he'd been telling me he wanted to work. And so I had some real hard labor to do on Friday, which was cleaning a shoreline up on the lake for a customer. And so I couldn't find no help. And so I just loaded my tool. I said, I'm just going to have to do it myself. And I knew that was going to be hard. I almost went and tried to see if Brother Goomba was available, because I was needing somebody really bad. But the Lord had had other plans. So I was going down Springs East Road, and Curtis was walking down the road. And so I didn't know where he was going, but I just asked him if he wanted a ride. And so he was going to the store, so I gave him a ride. And as we talked, he was looking for work, and I was looking for a helper. And so so now we've just known each other a couple of days, and we've become good friends. And so I thank the Lord. So we invited him to come this morning now, and I told him, I said, now you're going to hear some things that maybe you had never heard before. And so I mentioned to him that we believe God has sent a prophet in this day.
Yes, sir.
And so that is the basis of the whole Bible.
That's right.
Is that from the beginning of time, God spoke through man. And God raised up a prophet to reveal his word. So we think sometimes that, well, it's just in this age people think that God don't do it no more. No, it's been that way in every age,
right?
Because they rejected every single prophet that God sent. So they were always rejecting. And God would raise up another prophet, and he would interpret the word, or he would interpret what the last prophet said. He said, that prophet told you this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And then another prophet comes and he says, this is that. This is that. And so the theologians have dissected the Bible for 2,000 years, and they got everything. You know, they think they got every revelation and everything put together, but they didn't. They didn't. They never have. They've never. Man's never been able to do it.
Amen.
Man's never been able to do it. He wasn't able to do it back there, and he's not able to do it today.
Right.
It takes God. God is the only one who can reveal this Bible.
Yes,
this is it right here. This is it. This is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelations. And so God constantly was speaking.
Right.
God was constantly revealing himself. And so as he was revealing himself, a lot of times they didn't realize what he was doing it. But he was doing it in types and shadows. And so they would do something, and then they would realize later that that was a type of Christ. That was a type of the Lamb to come. That was showing them the characteristics of God. And so this whole Bible has been God revealing himself. And so we see men and women and children and battles and victories and all different kind of things. Every bit of that was showing us God, showing us Christ. And so that's the same. And so there's a great thing, many great things that was promised for the last days, because he promised he was going to save the best for last. And so as he was revealing himself through the ages, now here we are in the end time, and he has revealed himself in the greatest portion of himself that he has ever done. And so obviously it would take a prophet to do that. And so couldn't be a church, it couldn't be a denomination, couldn't be any of that. But let's just get right into it. I got a lot of scripture, and so I'm going to just do the best I can here this morning. I'm depending on him to give me something, what to say. But I'm staying with the thought that we have been on, and that has been, we've been going to talk about Armageddon and anointed ones, but we're coming a little bit slowly. And this morning, I just felt led to maybe move in this direction. So you pray for me as we go along. But we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 14, begin reading at verse 12. And he said, excuse me, let me just get me some water before I get going here. All right. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now we know that this is Satan, Lucifer. We know that's Satan, and so this is saying that he's fallen from heaven, or he's been cast out of heaven. So that means he was there. He was there in heaven. And so now he's cast out of heaven, right? Now listen to this, because he in his heart, Satan, in his heart, is going to prophesy. He's going to prophesy, and he's going to declare what he's going to do. Okay? So the scripture is telling us what's taking place now. How art thou fallen from heaven? How did you get cast out? How? How did you fall? What caused the fall? What's the reason for these things? Huh? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. Now this is Satan now in his heart. And so how does God know what's in that heart? Because the word, the Bible says, the word, and God is the word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here is God discerning Satan's heart. And Satan is saying, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now he's been cast out, and now he's prophesying that he's going back, that he's going to be lifted up, and he's going to be worshiped as God, and that he's going to ascend into heaven. See? So Satan has his plan. So there's a battle. There's a battle that's going on. That's why I named this what I named it, the battle of good and evil, because that's what it is. But the battle that Brother Branham is talking about, and Brother Branham is the prophet. He's the one that is coming this day. And he was given a commission to reveal the seven seals in Revelation chapter 6 through 8. He was given a commission to reveal the seven church ages in Revelation chapter 1 through 3. And so the truth is, in this day, in this hour, the whole book of Revelation has been revealed. All of the symbols and the signs, and that's what the whole book is. It's just symbols and different things that's hiding something. Some of it even tells you what those symbols are. It tells you in the first chapters there that those stars are the angels, they're the messengers to those churches, to those church ages. And so there's a lot of things that are given out as hints, but it wasn't revealed until this day. It was saved for the end time. And so that's why we're blessed. That's why we're blessed to be able to be in this day and this hour and to have these messages on the church ages, on the seven seals, on the revelation of the many things that was hidden in the Bible that was saved for this last day. And so this great battle that started in heaven and now has continued all through thousands of years now. It came through the Bible. The scripture says that Satan was in Eden. He was right there. He was part of he was what caused the fall in the Eden. There was a battle going on. And this battle, it's not a battle like we think carnally. Okay? In man's mind, when it comes to fighting, we think of swords, we think of guns. Of course, nowadays the technology has brought us way up. But we think of physical force. We think of fighting, hand-to-hand combat. We think about that kind of thing. But that's not the kind of battle. That's not the kind of battle that was taking place. Amen. This was the word against the lie. Right. Satan has always come with a lie. That's it. He's always, even if he can only change one word, it now becomes a lie. Yes, and he's not coming to you with 100 words up. He's coming with one small little thing, right, just to change it one bit. The Brother made it clear, he said that's what happened in the garden. He was preaching the word of God to Eve. Right. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He certainly did. He came to her with the scripture. She came back to him with the scripture. And the change was one little thing. You shall surely not die. Instead of saying, you shall die, if you do this, if you partake of this sin, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. He said, surely you'll not die, because God knows that you'll be enlightened, because you'll know good from evil. You're going to know. You're going to receive knowledge and understanding. You're going to be just like God. If you do this thing, you're going to be like God. So he only changed one little thing. And so that is a great revelation. That's a great revelation. So it's always been centered around the Word of God. It's not out there in something that's a million miles away. That's not where deception is. Deception is when it's so close, when it's 99% truth and 1% lie. That's where deception is. That's where Satan comes in, right there. And he says, yeah, that's the Word of God. Of course, that's true. That's the Bible. That's okay. But then he just twists a little bit, just go a little bit off. See, that's the only way you can fulfill Matthew chapter 24. That in the last days, there would be many, many false prophets. Huh? If there's going to be many false ones, then there has to be a true one somewhere.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If there's going to be many false, it only makes sense that there's going to be a true one. And the scripture, what the churches didn't know, and it wasn't even revealed into the state. They didn't know that the scripture was promising the prophet of this last day. They didn't know what Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 said, that he would send Elijah the prophet in the last days. In the last days. This was the last book of the Old Testament, was Malachi. Right? So he's speaking of the last days. He's speaking of this time. And he's telling us that Elijah will come. They didn't know that in Luke 17, chapter 17, verses 26 to 32, that there was coming a day when he would reveal himself. God would reveal himself again as the Son of Man. That's in a prophet.
Yes,
if you study the Old Testament, Son of Man is a prophet. And he's revealing himself as a prophet. They didn't know that the scripture promised in Revelation 10 that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. Those were promises for this day and this hour.
Yes, sir.
And people didn't know. But it took a prophet to come on the scene and reveal those, or shine the light on the Word of God and make it real to the people.
Right.
They didn't know. It's the same in every age. They didn't know who John the Baptist was. Here was a guy who was the most least likely person to be a prophet. This man was dressed in camel skin. Huh? And he lived in the forest. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And he went there when he was 9 years old. And he didn't have an education. And he was God's chosen vessel to be the forerunner of the first coming of Christ. Just as William Branham was chosen to be the forerunner of the second coming of Christ.
Right.
Same.
Amen.
This prophet today had a sixth grade education. He came up poor. He came up hard. John the Baptist, he came up poor. He came up hard. He came up in the wilderness. He came up without the education. He came out without those things. And look what he came against. He had to come against all of that knowledge. He had to come against all of that education. He had to come all against all of that theology.
Yes, sir.
And how does that make us feel today? We get in the presence of these people that have all these degrees and all of this theology. And I told you before, I work for this lady, and she's Presbyterian. She says, our preachers can't even be a preacher until they can speak Hebrew and Greek. And some of them speak Latin too. They have to know these languages before they're qualified. Before they're qualified to even preach this. Those disciples didn't get qualifications from church.
Amen.
They didn't get qualifications from some man.
That's right.
No, they received from God a calling.
Yes.
They received from God a revelation. And that takes us all the way back to Genesis,
yes,
where those first two brothers that came forth, the battle was going on. That battle that started in heaven, it was going on. And those two brothers, Cain and Abel, they both had a desire to worship God. Think about that. All man do. Because that, the prophet tells us that God put it in man to worship something.
Right.
And so if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something. You'll make an idol out of something. It can be your job. It can be your wife. It can be your car. It can be your house. It can be anything that you admire more than you admire God.
Right.
That's an idol.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you worship. That's the thing you spend all your time, all your money, all your heart, all you spend everything on that. See? But you, as you read your Bible, as you study your Bible, you notice that about the sons and daughters of God, that their whole life revolved around what God was doing in their day.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Their life revolved around the Word of God for that day.
Right.
Yes, that is a powerful thought. Because it has to be in your day. We can all sit here and say we believe that Noah was a prophet and he built an ark. But that's not going to help you one bit. Because an ark is not God's way today.
That's right.
It's not. He's not going to do that ever again. That was a one-time deal. He's not ever going to hang on the cross again. He's not ever going to do what he did in Elijah's day or Elisha's day or Moses' day. No, we're not. There's never going to be another parting of the water and we walk across. No, God promised something else today.
Amen.
That's right. And what he promised is in there.
Yes.
And we just needed the prophet to come and reveal what's in there.
Right.
Because man's been telling us. The preachers have been telling us. But what happened? Where did it go wrong? In this great battle, we watched it through the Old Testament. We watched how they come, different ones, claiming to worship God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
They did. Balaam come. He come to worship God, right? He wanted to join up with Israel. Say, hey, we have the same God. We're even relatives. We're even together. We have the same altar. We have the same worship. We have the same everything. But God said they were different. God was with one, and he wasn't with the other one.
Right.
And when we go back to Genesis, we find out that God was with Abel, and he wasn't with Cain.
Amen.
And the reason that Abel worshiped, the Bible says, is God gave him a revelation of the proper sacrifice.
Yes,
and Cain did not have that revelation. Cain brought his own idea. It's theology. It's intellectual faith. That's what we have today. That's what they had all the way through the Bible, was an intellectual faith. But every once in a while, God would come down and anoint somebody, like Abraham. And he would anoint him and give him a revelation. And he would just start walking. And he told him, he said, you're going to have a son. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And he just walked with God.
Right.
And that's the whole Bible. Is a little minority, a little tiny group walking with God.
Yeah.
And then all of the rest of it is rejectors and unbelievers. And this is the astounding part, is the rejectors and the unbelievers are carrying the same Bible.
That's right.
And believing the same God.
Yes, sir.
And declaring to worship the same God, believe the same God.
Yep.
Huh? It's a great battle. It started in heaven, and now it's on the earth.
Right.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Amen. So, God comes with truth. Satan comes with a lie. Always. That's what it was there. And what did he do? He deceived a third of the angels in heaven. And they were cast out with him. So how did he do it? By a lie. He told a lie and deceived. He convinced this one third of the angels to follow him. and that he would give them a position. He would give them this and give them that. One thing Satan can't be, he can't be. He wanted to be like the Most High God, but he can't be the Most High God. Satan cannot create. Only God can create. God is in control of the whole thing. Satan can only come as far as God will let him come. And so he's just fulfilling God's will and God's plan, God's word for every age. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Huh? These people that look are going to look narrowly upon him. They're just going to stare at him. They're just going to ponder this great one here. This one who's done so much. They're going to look at him now when he's brought down. See? Because he's already said he's going to lift himself up. But now he's going to be brought down. And then the people are going to look at him and say, is this the one? Is this the one who deceived the nations? Is this the ones who deceived the churches? Is this the one? Think about it. Sometimes man puts himself so big. But then when he's down here, then when that judgment falls and he's down here, he don't look big no more, does he? You remember Brother Branham talking about the man, I think he was talking about the Trinity. I don't remember, it's been years, it just come to my mind. But there was this big old man, and he was beating this woman. And so I think it was using that doctrine, represented the church, and he was beating him. And so Brother Branham was standing there, and it was this man, and he was beating this woman, and he was telling him to stop. And he was kind of afraid. But once he overcome that fear and spoke the word, then the man got a little bit smaller, if I'm remembering the story right. Every time he spoke the word, the man got smaller and smaller and smaller. Think about that. Think about that when you're facing your problems, your demons, your whatever you're going through. Think about that. The more you speak the word, the smaller the problem gets. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Huh? Yeah. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. No, he just bound them. It was a cage. Revelation says a cage of every unclean bird. See? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory. Every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Amen. Think about it. What prophecy. What prophecy that it is. Amen. I went to the lexicon. I wanted to see the meaning of the word of Lucifer. And so this is it. This is why he's called. I think we read Son of the Morning. Lucifer means light bearer, right? Shining one, morning star. Lucifer, light bearer. Yeah. The scripture says he was the most beautiful of all the angels. Think of that. The most beautiful. And the scripture says that when Christ came, then God came down in a body of flesh called the Son of God, that there was no beauty, no beauty that we should behold him. Isn't that interesting? Now here's the creator of heavens and earth. He's coming in no beauty. And here is a fallen angel who is the most beautiful. That's why Brother Branham said, sometimes beauty is a curse. If you don't place your beauty in the right place, right, it can be a curse.
Yes, sir.
This is in the message, the fourth seal. And so, some of the things I'm reading are, I'm reading straight from the message, which is from the prophet, Brother Branham. And he is a prophet, and he came to bring a message to the people. And that's what the Bible says. And so we have many, many scriptures that speaks of this last day messenger, speaks of the mysteries being revealed, speaks of the Bible, the seals being broke, and the many things that, that God has done, because we know that it's the end time. And so if he did it in all the other ages, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, he's got to do the same thing today. He's got to do the same thing today that he's done in every age. And so this what he's let us see is that this Old Testament was not just a bunch of stories. Yes. But there was a battle going on. There was a battle all the time. And it started in heaven. And that battle came down into the Garden of Eden. And it caused the fall. There was a couple of people that knew no sin. And they lived in perfection. And there was no death, and there was no sickness, and there was no sorrow, and they were naked, and they didn't even know they were naked. There was no shame. There was none of those things. But then what happened? Satan gets kicked out, and he comes down into Eden, and he takes his lie, and he begins to deceive the woman. And he couldn't deceive Adam, because Adam was in the image of God. But he took that which was a part of Adam, and he deceived her with the same word, with the same Bible, with the same scripture, and deceived her and caused the fall. And so then, thus Satan had earned the right now to enter into the human race. And now that's the reason why the Bible says that all are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, because we were represented in that. And so now it takes a new birth. It takes another birth besides this natural birth to quicken the seed of God that God placed in you before the foundation of the world. And so that new birth now brings you back into the presence of God and to no longer love the things of the world, but to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so it's a beautiful story. And it's a great thing that has been playing out. And you're just actors. You're just a part of God's great drama. You're just a part of God's great plan. He had it all before the foundation of the world. There's nothing here that's happening that just came up. Or just tomorrow it's going to be something that just came up. No, he knew it before the foundation of the world. Yes, sir. He knew what you was going to be facing. He knew what you was going to go through. And he knew the answer to it. Yeah, that's right. And he already had the answer ready. And so, but you had to go through that. You had to go through that strain and that struggle and that challenge. Right. Huh? So he could do what he wanted to do. What he could prove what he wanted to prove. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. And when we are born by the word, then we're happy. Yes. We're happy to walk in that place. Right. When we don't have Christ, that's what's sad about people that don't have Christ. They're wandering through a world and everything's pain and struggle and troubles and trials and everything. But when you know that God is with you, then there's a peace. Amen. There's a peace, and that you know you're fulfilling what God wanted. Right. When you listen to John the Baptist preach, you don't hear him say anything about, well, I wish I had an education. I wish I had nice clothes. I wish I had this. I wish I had a big church. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. He looked up at them big guys. Yes, he looked up at them theologians and them beautiful robes and them beautiful buildings. And he said, you snakes in the grass, you vipers, huh?
That's right.
Is that what he said? That's right there. It's in print.
Yes, sir.
He called them what they were, liars. Why? Because Satan had got a hold of them. Satan had got a hold of those ministers. Satan had got a hold of those preachers. Satan had got a hold of those pastors and those evangelists and those prophets and was deceiving the people. When Christ came, who did he come to? The Bible says he came to his own. Is that right? He came to his own. He didn't come to the unbeliever. He came to his own. And that was the Jewish people. And what had they done? And I think this is the number one thing that convinced me. I was 21 years old when God revealed himself to me. When this message was introduced to me, that's when I seen something that I never even imagined. I could never understand because I wasn't a church-going person. I had been to church a few times for the wrong reasons. And so I had traveled. I had met people. And I didn't see reality. I heard them stand there reading a Bible and telling Bible stories. And nobody in my life, nobody in their church, nobody anywhere was doing anything that they were reading about except the sin. Nobody there had the miracles. Nobody there had thus saith the Lord. Nobody there had a true anointing that God was revealing himself through. I'm not talking about put on. I'm not talking about makeup. I'm talking about what you read in this Bible. I didn't see it in the churches. And when I heard about this prophet, William Branham, then I seen something real. I seen a man just like Moses. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man, most humble, on the earth. That's what God said about Moses. You listen to William Branham talk, and you will know he's the most humble man that you ever talked to. He didn't come with education. He didn't come with theology. He didn't come with none of that. He came in humility and in love. And he walked in the revelation of the hour. God revealing the scriptures for this day. That's what was happening. And you can, when you hear him talk, you feel it. Especially if there's a seed of God in there, God quickens the word. See? Because God told us through his son that the true, remember he was talking to a prostitute down in Samaria, the woman at the well. And she said, our fathers worship on this mountain. And the Jews say, we got to go to Jerusalem to do it. And he said, well, the day's coming. It ain't going to be here and it ain't going to be there. He said, the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
So that was going to take two things. First, you were going to have the spirit. And second, you were going to have the truth. So he promised the Holy Ghost. He said, because when I leave, he said, I'm coming back. Now I'm coming back. He said, I came from the Spirit. I'm going back to the Spirit. And he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come in you in spirit form.
Amen.
And he said, this Spirit is going to lead you and guide you in all truth. That's right. What is that? Spirit and truth.
Yes.
I'm going to reveal myself to you because I'm the Word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God.
Right.
So, this is God right here. And every time God speaks, it's God.
Yes.
So, when he come in a true prophet in this day and spoke, once again, it's the Word. This wasn't one person. This was many, 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 many.
Right.
And everyone, they came on the scene. They were rejected. Then they died. After they died, the people come back and seen these prophecies. Oh, this really happened. This really happened. This was a true prophet. And we killed him. That's what Jesus told them in that day. That's what he told the Pharisees. That's what he told the Sadducees. Your fathers are the ones who killed the prophets. They said, oh, but if we would have lived there, if we would have lived, we wouldn't have done that. We would have accepted it. He said, but you don't believe me. He said, if you would have believed Moses, you would believe me. Yep. Same word, same spirit, same God.
That's right.
See, it just don't work when you reject any portion of the word. It doesn't work.
That's right.
Here comes God down on the scene, right? After some thousand years, they've been through Moses, they've been through the prophets, they've been through the kings, they've been through all these things, and they were up and down, up and down. God had sent them a genuine king or prophet and give them the word and pull them out of sin, pull them out of judgment, and they do good for a little while. And then what happens? Turns right around, and they go right back into it. Another king will raise up, and he'll turn them right into idolatry, take them right into sin. False prophets, same thing. And so they had come down, and the churches was building, the denominations was building. You thought about that? This is what I was saying. This is what really opened my eyes when I came and when I first heard the message. And that it's right in the New Testament that God comes down in a body of flesh. Okay, he creates a body. He puts the seed in the egg in a woman. And then that the woman is just taking in the food. And she's the incubator for that body. And that body comes forth. The Spirit of God comes into that body. And is called the Son of God. So now this Son of God, he's the Word. And he's got the Spirit. And he's got the Word. And he now begins to speak the Word to the people. He comes to the Jews. And what had they done? Think about this, because this is an eye-opener. What had they done? They had denominated, just like we have today. They had Pharisees, and they had Sadducees, and they had scribes, and they had Herodians, and they had every kind of denomination, and they had all different kinds of beliefs. They all had the same Bible. They all claimed the same God. They all claimed the same prophets back there. They always believe the prophets that are dead. It's the prophets that are living telling them they're in sin. That's the prophets they don't like. That's the problem. You get somebody start telling you your sins and you don't like that. There's the problem right there. But there's some that have the seed of God in there that are able to receive truth. And when that happens, they only want truth. They can't be satisfied with anything but truth. And so those Pharisees and Sadducees, they had denominated and in such a way that they rejected him. Is that right?
Right.
Do you know which church he came to? Anybody know which church that God recognized to be the true one in that day? Talking about in Jesus' day. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, Herodians. You know which one had the truth? None of them. Isn't that amazing? Not one. Not one of them had the truth. They all had part of the truth. They all claimed to be the truth. And that's why they couldn't accept him, because they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for God to come down and say, we're the one. We're the one. And we're doing the same thing today. Every church is believing they're right. Is that right? We're in the mix, right? We're in the mix. And we believe we're standing for righteousness. We believe we're standing for truth. We believe we're born by the Word. But there's only one thing that's going to prove that. And that's Him. He's the only one who can prove that. And so He, in that day, He never came to a denomination. He never came to man's idea. He always came by the words of the prophet. That's what he always came by. That's when Elijah, that's what he told them that day. When they did the altar and they did all those things. He said, Lord, I've did all of this at your command. At your command. And what happened? They all of them other prophets, what, 400, 450 prophets, however many there was. They had two, Jezebel and Ahab had two groups. They had a 400 and a 450. And they all ate at his table. And so he had part of them out there that day. I don't remember if it was the 400 or the 450. But he told him, he said, let's let the God that is God, answered by fire. And so they did all of their rituals. They built the altar. They did the sacrifice. They did all these things, and they danced in the spirit. They screamed. They cried. They did all of that, and nothing happened. And so then the word mocked them and said, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God is not even a God. And so they screamed louder, and they took knives, and they cut themselves, and they bled. That's Satan.
That's right.
That's Satan.
Yes, sir.
When you see those rituals, you see those things, that's Satan. You know it. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wait and see. That's Satan.
That's right.
And they cried more. And then the prophet had enough. And he said, stand back. And he called on, he fixed it all back up. And then he had him pour water on it and pour water on it and pour water on it. And then he called on God. And then he reminded God, I've done this at your command. That's the difference today. That's the difference in us this morning.
Amen.
Is we're doing that at his command. We're not doing what I think, what you think, what somebody else thinks. We're doing it at his command.
That's right.
Yes. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The mouth of God is the prophet.
Yes, sir.
And so every time God sends a prophet, you got to hear it.
Right.
You got to hear it. You can't sit there and let Satan say, no, that prophets was just for the Old Testament. Well, then you're going to have to quit believing the New Testament because there was prophets.
Yep.
They've been saying that forever. Stay with the word.
Yes, sir.
What did they do? This isn't the fourth seal. What did they do? They finally form up in the image of the beast another power, notice, and act to the Lamb's bride like she did in Revelations 13, 14. That's what they do. Just persecute, just the same thing. The churches just makes fun of the true bride of Christ as Rome ever did. Just exactly. See, yes, sir. Acts to the real Lamb's bride just exactly like she did in Revelations 13, 14. Now, he reads a lot of scripture. He covers a lot of scripture here. And I've got some, but I'm not going to read all of it. But I want to just say, because we've been talking about it, and that is the whore and her harlot daughters. Okay? The scripture says, the scripture identifies that whore is the Catholic Church. That's spiritualism. That's what they do. They pray to the dead.
Yep.
You can't even be a saint until you're dead in the Catholic Church. That's not the scripture.
Right.
The scripture is you're a saint when you're born again by the word.
Yes, sir.
While you're alive.
Right.
You can't, somebody can't die and go to hell and then you give money to the priest and he prays and gets that person out of hell. That's not in the Bible. That sounds okay, but it's not in the Bible.
Right.
See, it's the lie. It's the lie.
Amen.
We talked about during the Dark Ages, that history has recorded that the Catholic Church during the Dark Ages, and I had the dates this morning, but I didn't bring them with me, but I looked it up. And put 68 million Christians to death. How is she still standing? How is she still here? Why hasn't she been completely done away with and all of them put in jail? How is it that they've got caught over and over and over molesting the children? This Jeffrey Epstein thing that they're talking about in Epstein Island, it's nothing. It's nothing. Compared to the Catholic Church.
Right.
The Catholic Church has been doing it for 1,000 years.
Yep.
They've been molesting children for 1,000 years.
Yes, sir.
It's a lie.
Amen.
And then our denominational churches that left there, that left England, that left Rome, that left Ireland, that left every one of those countries to come here for religious freedom.
Right.
What did they do? They turned right around, and I think I have it in here, the date that the World Council of the Churches was formed here. And what did they do? They went right back to Mama. Yep. They went right back to the Catholic Church. They joined right back up. It sounds like a great spiritual thing, but it's a lie. It's a lie.
Yes, sir.
That's a lie, and so is the World Council a lie. They took the Catholic doctrine. They took the Godhead revelation and called it Father, Son, and Holiness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a Trinity doctrine. Yeah, it's a Trinity, but it's not three different people.
That's right.
It's not three different gods.
Nope.
It's not three different ones that are all co-equal in power. No, it's not. It's the same God. God the Father is God in spirit form.
Yes, sir.
God the Son is God in flesh.
Right.
God the Holy Ghost is the Father back in spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came from the Father, I go back to the Father. I came from the Spirit, I go back to the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He said, I came in my Father's name, I'll send the Holy Ghost in my name.
Right.
Same name, same person. It's not three people. It's not three gods.
Amen.
That's the problem with the Trinity doctrine. Because that doctrine was started in 325 AD at the Nicene Council in Rome. That is a Roman Catholic doctrine. And the churches have accepted that idea. Watch. See, now notice, now we see by God's word a promise. He will kill her children, the denominations, her daughters with spiritual death. This is the thing that all of this is going to bring out, is this is a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. It's not guns and knives. The devil can use guns and knives. The devil can murder and slaughter and put to death in the flesh. But we're not fighting a natural battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Yes, we are. See? Now, that's Revelations 2:22. Don't forget it now. To kill is to put to death. And death is eternal separation from the presence of God. Now, that is a revelation for this day. I don't know that they've ever been able to say or understand eternal separation until this day. I don't think so. I don't know anywhere back there where they were able to comprehend and know that hell is not eternal, that hell is everlasting, it's forever. That means it has a beginning, it has an ending. It was created for the devil and his angels. But it's not eternal. There's only one eternal life, and that's God. That's all. See? Death is eternal separation from the presence of God. Think of that, friends. Think of that. Don't you trust in any man-made creed. Anything that's contrary to the word, you keep away from it. That's right. See? Now watch. In the Bible here, it says his name was hell. I mean, his name was death, and hell followed after him. Now, hell always follows death in the natural. When the natural man dies, hell follows him. That's the grave, see? That's Hades. That's you. Take the translation. That's what it is. See? And that's why Brother Branham said, the lake of fire and hell, he said it's two different things. See? But in the spiritual, it's a lake of fire. See? That he said, that's in the natural. He said, but in the spiritual, it's a lake of fire. See? All right. See? It's eternal separation where they're burned up. Think what he's saying. See? And Malachi 4 said, it don't leave him stubble or branch or nothing else. Isn't that something? Going back to Malachi 4, where our prophet is, in the days when the earth would burn as an oven. See? It's the way, don't even leave him stubble. It's the way the world has of purifying itself again for the millennium. See? See? What is this all coming to? It started in heaven. See? It's coming to the end time battle. That's where we're at. That's where we're at, the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. And Lucifer was kicked out. And he come to the earth, and then he polluted Eden. See? And then he's been polluting ever since. That's right. And now, from the battle in heaven, is coming to the battle on earth. See? And it is to be finished on the earth at the end time in a battle called Armageddon. That's where he's going. And the prophet reveals it. And I know you know it. I know you've heard it many times. But it's a spiritual battle.
Yes, sir.
It's a spiritual battle. And it's the word against the lie.
Amen.
And that's what you face every day. Whether you're conscious of it, whether you're thinking about it, whether no matter what, every day you go out, you are facing the word against the lie.
Yes, sir.
Satan is always trying to present the lie. And God is presenting the truth, the revelation for the day. Like I said, this is not a hand-to-hand combat. This is not a natural battle. It's not a physical warfare. This is a spiritual warfare. See? Now, anyone knows that. The battle started in heaven. So they kicked them out. See? Michael and his angels overthrew them and just run out. See? And when they did, he dropped right down into Eden. And there started the battle down here. That's right. Now, I got some more scripture here I want to read. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking on the same line. See, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, he's speaking of two things, and that's the coming of the Lord and the gathering unto him. Now, the people will be gathering unto him. He's going to gather him. What did he do with John the Baptist? John brought a message and started gathering the people together. And he got an excitement going among the people. And they're saying, you know, this prophet is reminding us that the scripture said God's going to do this and this and this and this. And so in this last day, God promised the same thing, that he would send the spirit of Elijah once again. And that this prophet in this last day would take the scriptures and he would reveal once again, forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just as he had somebody, the spirit of Elijah, forerun the first coming, he would forerun the second coming the same. And so that gets the people's attention. That gets the people on fire for God and kind of just shakes them, wakes them up. That's right. So, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, we didn't know exactly what was being said here until our prophet came. And when when our prophet came, he let us know that these disciples had started a rumor. And that rumor was because of comments that Jesus made about John when they asked, what will happen to this man? And Jesus said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? And the Bible says a rumor went out that John was going to live to the coming of the Lord. But that's not what he said. He just said, what is it to you if he does? So the Apostle Paul comes now. He goes down into Arabia, gets the revelation from God, and he comes back and he hears the disciples preaching like Christ is coming any day, any day, any day. And Paul says, no, 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 no. And Paul begins to prophesy. And Paul begins to reveal the word to them of what's going to happen in our day, in the last days. See? Don't be shaken in mind or troubled by spirit or by word or by letter as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. You know what I like about this scripture is this scripture is the same. It starts out the same as the prophet did in the invisible union. I think you read it recently, but He says, let no man deceive you by his creeds, right? The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. Is that right? Yeah. So he's almost saying it word for word right here. He took the words from Apostle Paul. Except there come a falling away first. Let's read that again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The coming of the Lord and the gathering together, huh? Shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that's some of what we've been reading. This dragon, this beast, this image to the beast, it had to be revealed. They didn't know. They didn't understand it. But now we understand it. Now we know. Well, the Catholic Church wasn't even in existence at the time. Well, maybe the Rome was there, and they had their religion. But Papal Rome came later in that it was able to deceive and destroy. And so that was coming. That part of it was in the future. See? So that's the promise. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God. Where is he going to sit? In the temple of God. What did Lucifer say when he was cast out? That I'm going to ascend up. Huh? And I'm going to sit among the stars. Huh? Huh? The sons of God. I'm going to sit among them. Yeah? So that he as God, he's not God. He's sitting there as God. That's the prophecy. That's what had to be revealed in this day. So that we would know the truth. So we could recognize the devil. So we could recognize those spirits. So we could recognize the lie.
That's right.
Paul was sending it out for us. And then God sent us a prophet to interpret and tell us what it was. See? So that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Right.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?
Amen.
Huh? And now you know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in its time. Now you know what we're waiting for.
Right.
And what's going to be revealed in its time. Now you know. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. I'm talking about the gathering together unto him.
Amen.
Yes, it's going to be revealed. But this man of sin has got to be revealed first.
Yes, sir.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Praise be to God. This mystery is happening. It's taking place.
That's right.
And then shall that wicked be revealed. Huh? That man of sin, that son of perdition. Then will Satan incarnate be revealed. Huh?
Right.
All of that's for this day. This is the hour. This is the time. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's the promise. That's something that will deceive all whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you do not have the Spirit and the Word living in you,
right,
you will not get past this. You will not get past it. Because Satan will come with the working of all power and signs and lying wonders. Huh? That's right. It's deceiving. It's powerful. And only by God's grace, by revelation from God, can you recognize it and overcome it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And that's exactly where the world is today. That's exactly what this whole Bible, Every elected seed of God has been against and challenged in every day from Genesis to Revelations.
Right.
Is they don't have the love of the truth. Cain was given the truth. God himself gave him the truth, and he didn't have the love of the truth. If he had had it, he would have just done exactly what he was told.
Yes, sir.
Said, yes, Lord, thank you. My sacrifice was a big mistake. Thank you, Father, for opening my eyes and letting me know the truth. But what did he do? He got mad. What did he do? He killed his brother. Huh? He showed his nature. He showed what was in him. That they should believe a lie. Let's read 11 again. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, these are powerful scriptures. These are powerful scriptures that really, of course, they were all through the Bible. They were even in the Old Testament. But this, in this hour now, is the real climax of all of these things. And it's more powerful now because the scripture promised it in Matthew 24 in the last days. That it would deceive all on the face of the earth. See? That they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. Praise be to God. Now I got another one. This is in Ephesians. Listen to this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Huh? Before you were born again, that's where you were. That's what you walked in. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now, what are we fighting against? That's what we're fighting. That's what we're up against. We're up against principalities and powers. We're fighting spirits. It's not a natural. When you get a person that they're so acceptable to Satan, and they're constantly challenging you, and they're constantly provoking you, and they're constantly making statements to you, and you want to get upset in the flesh. What do? You remember, this is a spiritual battle. It's not that flesh. It's a spirit that's gotten a hold of that flesh, and it's provoking.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
When we can hold that tight, then we can help the person. We can help the person. We can work on the spirit. Because as soon as the flesh gets in the battle, Satan won.
Yep.
Satan wins.
Right.
We got to get out of the flesh and we got to get in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
And we got to recognize it's a spiritual battle. And he's the prince of the power of the air.
Right.
See, the spirit. See, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. That's the truth.
Amen.
And we see it. We know it. See, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. And you know this is true. You know how you used to talk. You know the things you would say. You've left that. You left off those things. You don't talk like that now.
Right.
You don't go for the filth and that stuff. It embarrasses you. You don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What? By nature. That's right. That's what it's always been. It's a different nature. They have a different nature. Huh? The love of God is not in there. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace are you saved. See? Even when you were dead in sin, even when you were out there doing wrong. Huh?
Right.
What did he do? He sent his word. He sent his word to quicken that seed of life in you. And the word quicken means to make alive. It quickened that seed in you. It made it live. It made it alive, like a seed in the ground. There's something there. That has to be the most amazing thing. One of the most amazing things that God did is a seed. Is a seed. To think a seed can lay there 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And you can put it in the ground, and it won't do nothing. It won't do nothing. And then you take that seed and you put it in the ground. And you let the sun hit it. You let some water hit it. You let the earth do what it does. And that seed will burst open. There is a life that is inside there. And God put in you before the foundation of the world a gene of life. That's right. And it was waiting to be made manifest. It was waiting to be quickened. And it couldn't be quickened until you heard the word. Huh? It took the word to make it live. That's right. And when it became alive, when it was quickened, then it was the word that began to live out.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. That's right. And hath raised us up together. Now he said it's grace. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do. It's his choosing. It's his grace. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And what does the word faith mean? Revelation. Let's read it again. For by grace are you saved through revelation.
Amen.
How did Abel know? Revelation.
Yes, sir.
How did Cain not know? Lack of revelation.
Right.
How did Moses know? Revelation.
Yes.
How did Pharaoh not know? By lack of revelation.
Yes, sir.
How did Jesus know? By revelation. How did Judas not know? By lack of revelation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Huh? That revelation living in you is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Listen to this. Because if you take the next scripture alone, it's going to sound like the opposite. Almost. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You were created to do good works. Huh? But you're not saved by your good works. No. It doesn't make you the seed of God by your good works. No. See? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's right. But you're not saved by that. You're saved by revelation. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Praise God. Think about it now. He's still talking about the battle, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He's still talking about the battle.
All right.
And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That's right. Praise be to God. Oh my. I think that went into Revelation chapter 13. And he's going into talking about the beast. And he covers this thoroughly. He covers it in the seals. He covers it in the church ages especially. And then he covers it throughout the message. But he makes it clear that these things were to happen in the last days, and that the man of sin would be revealed, and that that Satan incarnate would be revealed in this last days. And it would be revealed how that Rome was, the Catholic Church, was the harlot in Revelation 17. That she was that one that sets on seven hills. She's the only religious city in the world sets on seven hills. And so then the mark of the beast was a 666. And I got the quotes here. We're not going to get to them. And if you take the Roman numerals that is on the Vatican at Rome, you take the Roman numerals out of the words that say filii, di. Yes, thank you. I left out the first part. In those days, they wrote in Roman numbers. And you take out those letters out of that wording, that means instead of Christ, that's what the Pope is trying to do, is stand in the place of God. And that's what he said. That's what Lucifer said he was going to do. He was going to exalt himself to the Most High. And so now the numbers there in that great temple and in that great Vatican is 666. And the only religious city that sets on seven hills. And so she's the whore in Revelations. And she had harlot daughters. They ran away to go try to have freedom of worship. They tried to have their own. They tried to walk with God. But like a dog to its vomit and a pig to its wallow, they turned and they went back. They went back. And the scripture says, calls them harlot daughters, daughters of that whore. We're going to read this, and then we'll stop. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Did I go too far? I did. I'm sorry. Let's back up a little further here. All right. We read Revelation 7. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. I'm sorry, I read that too, didn't I? If any man have an ear, let him hear. Verse 10. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Didn't the scripture say the blind will lead the blind and they'll both fall into the ditch? He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Now, once again, we're not talking about natural battle. We're talking a spiritual battle. And what is the word of God? Huh? It's a sword.
Right.
It's a sword. The word is a sword. That's right. And we are fighting a spiritual battle with our sword, the word of God.
Yes.
And those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword. That's right. In the natural, you were in those old days, if you were born into a family of soldiers, that's what you did. And that was your whole life.
Yes, sir.
Your whole life, you were a soldier. And so you were going to die by the sword. More than likely, if that's your profession, you were going to die by the sword. In this case, they're going to die by the sword of truth. Because they're fighting with the sword of the lie. They're fighting with deception. They're fighting with the lie. So he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. And causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And we know that went from Imperial Rome to Papal Rome. And so all of that's history, but it's also revealed by the prophet. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's right. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. And so that was one of the mysteries of the book of Revelations that our prophet in this last day came to reveal. To reveal who every one of them was, who the dragon was, who the beast was, all of these things. Who was the lamb? Who was this? Who was that? All of it. This is the day. This is the hour that it was to be revealed. And we thank God for it. We are blessed to live in this day because this is the greatest day. This is the greatest day because this is the end time. And this is the time that the battle is going to be finished.
Amen.
There was something that finished in Jesus' day, that he said it's finished. But this time, in Revelations 19, he is coming on a white horse. And his saints are coming on white horses. And his saints are coming to the battle. That's right. And it's not with sticks and stones and knives and swords. They're coming with the word. That's right. They're coming with truth. They're coming by revelation. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. We'll ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come. I'm also going to ask Brother Goomba if he will minister for us on Wednesday. Okay? God bless you. I keep forgetting to ask you, and I said I got to say it right now while I'm thinking about it.
Get it in just 1 minute. Just 1 minute.
Gets yes.
I hold the mic. I hold it like that. Okay. Brother, sit down. You can sit down. Can rest. Can you rest?
Yeah.
No, you got to.
No, let's do this.
All right. Okay. And I'm not going to talk. I'm just saying something small. I'm not.
We're done really early.
All right. Thank you. So I have some news to announce here. This morning I got some news that Henry.
Yes.
Henry was doing very well, but I just got some news that he rested. And I'm sorry about that.
He died?
Yes.
Oh, Henry. Wow.
I was told that by Sister Esther. I've just checked now, and they removed me from, I think since we preached there, when I preached there, I think he removed me from their church group. So I think he posted there. And I didn't know that I was removed until now. I've just checked. I sent a text there one time telling them that it's very important to look at what the messenger of the age says, and everybody who is preaching is supposed to go back to the messenger of the age. I just posted that and they left it there. I don't know why they didn't like it, because they just moved me. I don't know why. But since about the time they moved me, they removed me. So I didn't know. So Sister Esther is telling me that she's in that group. She saw it, and now I think Brother Mwangi also sent her a text that he passed on. Now, the thing is that that was this morning. She was telling me this morning. But on Thursday, I think Thursday or Wednesday, he called me from the bush, from nowhere. I just saw him. He's calling. And we've not talked with Henry since we've been there. We went there to see him in the rehab with Brother Don. And we really had very good fellowship. He has visited us here. Mwangi and the group have visited us here, and he had a very good time with them. Now, he called me from the Bruce. He's his brother, and he testified of how great God is, and he's given him hearing as his miracle worker. God works miracles, and it was very good, very, very good testimony. And then he cut short. I don't know why he just cut short. He said, I'm going to call you again, brother, and I would love to see you. That's what he said. And then I didn't call him. I didn't call him, and I thought he would call. And then I decided now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go there. I decided I'm going to go there. I told my wife I want the agenda. You know, our vehicle here is better in my gas mileage. I said, I'm going there, and I want to see him. And I told Sister S, I'm going, but I don't know the date. He said, when you're going, I would like to go with you. I said, yeah, I would like to go with some people. Yeah. And now I was planning to go this week, sometimes this week, to see him. And this morning now, I got that information, but he rested. I'm sorry about that. So I'm waiting to have some more information. Maybe I'm going to call Brother Mwangi, and I'll see how it's going to go. But also, Henley was strong in the faith. Henley was strong in the little that he believed. We had very good fellowship, and he even called what he called his pastor. He called the brother at home in Kenya
pastor.
And he called his pastor, and we fellowshipped, the three of us. And his brother was there in the bed, the three of us, and the brother in Kenya, and the brother there. We had a very, very good fellowship. And as you know, me and Don, we just say what it is. We said we believe this message. And that's what we need people to stay in this message. This is where, if you die, you remember, and I'm not preaching, but you remember, Brother Don came with that the other day, that Joseph and them, when Jacob died in Egypt. You remember when Jacob died in Egypt, the father of Joseph and the brothers? Yes. When he died, he made them swear that they're not going to bury them there, that they're going to take him to Canaan, you know, Israel. There's a place where Abraham had bought a place to bury. When Sarah died, he bought it from a family called Machpelah. I don't know how to pronounce that. Machpelah. He bought that, and that's where they were burying people. Now, I hear, I'm not in the information because I've not got the prophet. That's where Jesus Christ was also buried. Well, that's what the history says and things like that. And the theologians, that's where Jesus Christ was buried. And he knew that he was a prophet. The prophet says Jacob was a prophet. And he knew that those people who are going to be buried there, where Sarah was buried and where Abraham was buried and where those people, they're going to have the first resurrection. That is the resurrection when the Bible said that he came with them and went with them. And they were seen here 40 days walking here. They resurrected and they went to the rapture. That's what the prophet says. Because they were buried there. And this is it, brothers. This is where to be. There is not anything. There is nothing. But be buried now. The only place to be buried is in the message of the hour that you are living in.
Praise God.
That's why those people are very keen. Don't bury me nowhere else. And Joseph did the same. No, Joseph did. Don't bury me here. Don't bury me. Embalm me. Embalm my body. Put it somewhere, let it stay, and they knew how to embalm. You know, embalm. What is embalm?
Embalm.
Embalm. Embalm. Embalm it. Embalm my body. Don't bury it here. Whatsoever. If you are tired of staying with me dead here, just take a trip, go and come back. But don't bury me here. And when they went, when Moses took them, when they were crossing Canaan, they had their body. They had chicken, they had their cow, they had whatever they had their body. They carried Joseph's body. Until he went and got buried in Israel, because they knew he would be buried. Now, the only thing you cannot tell us that when you arrive, that when I die, bury me in Israel. No. You now tell us. You're not telling us that that's where you want to be buried. You are not telling us you are a believer of this message and believe it and show us that. Then we know. We don't care. We don't care whether you die there, whether you die here, whether you die tomorrow, wherever you die, you don't care. You don't care. Death is nothing. Brothers, death is nothing. But you are buried in one place, in the message of the hour that you are living in.
Amen.
You know, and Brother Don came with that, about eternal separation with God. Eternal separation with God. That's a very good quote, Brother Don. People don't know what eternal separation of God is. Because eternal separation, how can you be separated eternally? Because it looks like you're together and now you're separated.
Yes.
No, you're never together.
That's right.
That's why eternal doesn't have a beginning. So togetherness has never been there. It's not here. It will never be there. The only thing that looks like is separation, because you came here and looked like you believed it, and it looked like you are there with him like that, and you are never there. You are never there. If you are there with him, you never not be with him. And there was no time that you have never been with him. But those people who have never been with him, they come here like Judas, and they look like they are with him. They look like they are with him. They were called. They stayed with him like that. They are in the message. They look like they are in the message. They are being the message. They are reading the quote of the prophet. They are doing that. But they have never been with him, and they will never be with him. They are eternally separated from God. That's a very dangerous place to be. That's a very, very dangerous to be. And I think that Brother Don said that really I got a little interested with. Is people don't realize that, and it's the same thing. This thing about the message of the hour is not started today, Brother Mike. That is how God was right from the beginning there. There was a message of the hour when Adam sinned there. There was a message of the hour that was brought by Jesus Christ. God himself, he brought it. This is the way you're going to do. This is the way you're going to do. This is the way you're going to believe now from here henceforth. This is the way you're going to live. This is the message of the hour. Follow it. And the ever followed it. And they followed it. Yeah. Cain could not. Cain could not. And his lineage could not. But there were people who followed the message of the hour. It came to Noah. Noah had a message. Every time. God. That's how God works. God has not stopped working like that. There's no way to get saved. There's no way to get saved except being in the message of the hour. And in the church ages, there was a way to sometimes Nicodemus, because he had mercy upon them. But today, brothers and sisters, and that's what, when I hear somebody has died, brothers, this is what really touches me. You remember when Brother Branham died? Brother Branham was working in a ranch farm somewhere. Somewhere away from Indiana, somewhere. I don't know where he was working, but I've never gotten exactly the map where he was working. And he had his brother that died. And that is what he did. And he was not a Christian. And he started wondering, how was he? Because that's a question that you had. Where did I go? Stanley has died. He's not with us now. Where has God? If you know, the prophet says, death is not a big deal. Death is not a big deal. But judgment is a big deal. Where do you go? Where do you go, brother? Where do you go, sister? It doesn't mean, you know, we don't want to preach that so that you don't feel like you are coming to Christ because you are fearing fire. If you come to Christ because you are fearing fire, come anyways. No problem. For whatever reason you come to Christ, come.
Amen.
But stay there. Whether it's because of hearing fire, but you come and stay there, there are people who don't fear fire. They don't fear nothing.
Amen.
But the prophet says, you don't fear nothing, you don't care, but that will make you fear. When you see that fire come, you fear. That will make you fear. That will make you worry that time. Instead of that, rather, let's get serious with the message of this hour. That's Amen. The most important thing. Be in the message there. So I don't know how, I don't have more information, and I'll talk to Brother John about that. If I get more information, I'll have to know how they're doing. I'll have to know how the family is doing. I don't know whether they're going to fly the body to Kenya. They might need some help. I don't know. But we'll talk with Brother John and the rest of it. We'll keep you abreast on that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for taking us through that. And Lord, some of these things are very deep. They don't seem to be deep because they just seem to be like history. But they have a relationship with our lives here, Father, and showing where we are, Father, and what the world is doing, and what the devil is doing, and what kind of a war is waging against us, rather, and there's no way to fight this war. If we don't know how he is fighting, he's so cunning, Lord, and that is his armor. That is his armor, Lord. And if we don't know it, we cannot fight it, Lord. We cannot fight this war, and we cannot win. But Lord, you're with us, and you know it, Father, and you've come with this revelation to open all these things to us, Lord God, the bride. And the bride starts, Lord God, and is more than a victor, Lord God, in all these things. Thank you, Father. Be with every one of us, Father. Help us to be more serious, Lord God, to get deeper in the revelation of the word, Lord. Give ourselves more to this, Father, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.